This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Yeah, next week at this time, we may be eating hot beef in the form of a cheesesteak.
Yes.
Hot
when
beef!
We're in Philadelphia. I don't know if Jesse Agler realized it, but we were stalking him across the country and following him at this point. Jesse, is that weird that we're going to be following you to Philadelphia next week?
No, I don't think it's weird. Okay. I think it's exciting. I'm glad for you guys
Thank you.
You're going to be there. And I imagine there will be other Padre fans there. And I look forward to you guys getting the full Citizens Bank Park visiting fan experience. It is an experience.
Expand. Extrapolate.
I will say this. I love doing games there. I love doing games there. But the reputation of the Philly fan is well-earned. I don't think it is personal, but they do not want anybody in the opposing colors to feel particularly welcome in their yard. And I think it's great. Like I don't hate it, you know, I mean, but there is a very good, great, almost certain chance you're going to get some middle fingers. You're probably going to get some words thrown your way. Even if you're just wearing a Padre hat, like walking around the concourse, and it might come from a 9-year-old girl. It doesn't matter. And it's just, it's great. It's great. I mean, the stories that I've heard from a lot of the fans who were there for the playoffs in 22 are just all time. Like you think like, oh, people just say this stuff about the Philly fans, but it can't really be true. Oh, it's true. It's true. And it's glorious. I love it.
Yeah. Tom Seidler told me yesterday that during the 2022 NLCS, he was there with his 5-year-old and his 5-year-old learned some new words.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
From Philly's fans. They don't,
absolutely.
They don't discriminate based on age, Jesse.
No. They're not worried about who you are. Or it's like if you're in that hat or that T-shirt or that jersey, you're going to hear something. But like it's almost playful. It doesn't sound playful, I don't think. But it's not personal. Like I said, they want you to make sure you know that this is not your house.
I respect it. I do. I'll also be in a Kyle Schwarber jersey, so it's fine. It's no big deal. Yeah, kick some ass. Manny looks up. He sees me rooting for the Kyle Schwarber and the Phillies. My God. I love
By the way,
guys.
You look like you could be his brother now that you mention that. So people
Schwarber?
Are going to be like, oh, yeah, you're cousin.
Not an insult.
Yeah.
I've heard worse.
No, not at all.
I've heard worse.
I didn't mean it. Kyle Schwarber's a very handsome man.
He
can hit the ball a very far way.
Man,
yeah,
that I can't do. My wife actually loves Kyle Schwarber. So, yeah, it does kind of make sense. Big teddy bear.
She's a type, yeah.
Yeah, she yes. Baseball players is her type. And she got stuck with me, Jesse. Talking to Jesse Agler here on Ben and Woods this morning. Kind of a flush, you know, flush that one last night, certainly. Loved the series win against the Royals. I really enjoyed that a lot. I really like watching the Royals, too. Weirdly, they're a fun team to watch.
Yeah, fun team
to root for. Good players. But, you know, this one last night, just kind of looked at it and said, oh, this has been this kind of unraveling, these weird big innings that are happening lately feels like that can't continue from a Mike Schilt coached team, right?
Yeah, and they're weird, right? You know, I mean, like no two seem to be identical. And yesterday, you know, I don't like playing armchair psychologist, but it was like Stephen Kolek made the error, you know, on the comeback, and it just seemed like it unspooled his entire night. And look, that wouldn't be the first time that's happened to a young pitcher. You know, you make a mistake, maybe not related to pitching. All of a sudden, you know, your mind is just maybe not right where it was a moment ago and things get away from you. I mean, that's part of running out guys who don't have a ton of experience starting games at the major league level is that stuff like that might happen. Now, look, maybe it was totally unrelated. Maybe it was circumstantial and just, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, I think there is a greater chance of an inning like that happening when you have a guy who doesn't have as much experience on the mound. Now, that's not to say I don't want to see Stephen Kolek out there every 5 days. I think he's done a very fine job, you know, pretty much every time he's gotten the ball. So, you know, it's one of those things you have to accept and deal with, and there's learning on the fly. And, you know, it's my shoots and ladders analogy again. You know, Stephen Kolek, Randy Vasquez, Ryan Burgert, whichever one of those guys you want to talk about, you know, it's kind of the same story. There are going to be good days and bad days. There are going to be good innings and bad innings. There are going to be good at-bats and bad at-bats. And that's just kind of the reality of throwing out young guys who haven't kind of been there and done that.
Jesse, baseball is so unpredictable, yet sometimes it's not. And you threw out a personal theory on Sammy's pregame show yesterday. I was listening that I agreed with 100%. You qualified a little bit going, I don't know if I know what I'm talking about. I think you do know what you're talking about. Tell these guys in the tier ones kind of what you were saying about looking at a schedule and just kind of knowing when a team's going to struggle?
Yeah, it's one of my very unofficial theories. And I think what I said to Sam yesterday was, I don't know that I would bring this to AJ Preller or Mike Schilt for conversation, but like, I'll kick it around with you guys certainly. And it's that you could go back to January of this year, right? And before you even know, you know, all the details of the rotation and injuries and like who's going to be hot and who's not going to be, that you could have looked at this chunk of schedule, basically the month of June, and said, that's probably going to be a tough few weeks. And it has nothing to do with who they're playing. It just has to do with the literal like calendar part of the schedule. So this is one of my, as I said, very unofficial, theories of baseball. And it counts for good teams, because bad teams, you throw it out, it is what it is. But for a good team, you obviously know that even for a good team, there's going to be a tough stretch. And I think you could just look at the calendar and the schedule and see the lack of off days and see the travel and say, you know what, probably not going to play their best baseball in this chunk of time. And, you know, I think it's kind of played out that way. And look, as someone who goes to all the games and does all the travel, but obviously doesn't have the physical component of playing the game, like I feel so worn down right now.
I bet.
As we approach the end of this stretch. So like, I can't imagine what Manny feels like, or what Fernando feels like, or what Xander feels like, although he probably feels much better today than he did 5 days ago. You know, it's just, it's the nature of the schedule. It is the relentlessness of the major league calendar. And, you know, this is why everybody goes marathon, not sprint. This is why we talk about, you know, you can't make any grand proclamations, you know, at this point in the season, because it's a gnarly stretch right now. And like I said, if we would have all been sitting down looking at the schedule together in January, I would have circled this period and said, that's going to be a tough stretch for this team. And I think it has been.
That off day is going to hit like crazy, isn't it?
In Cincinnati, yeah.
Ouch. I guess I didn't think about that. Cincinnati.
That's like the final kick in the pants, right?
Final
there.
Kick
it's
in
like,
the
oh,
rear
yeah, you're going to yeah, you're going to get an off day. Oh, what are you going to do? I literally don't know.
I'll sit in my hotel
probably. Maybe good. Yeah, exactly.
Not leave
exactly.
And avoid some sort of insane humidity.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it'll only be 92 and humid.
Oh God! You see, Ellie De La Cruz like had to put his head between his legs the other night, in the middle of the game. He's like, "Hang on!"
Did he throw up last week?
Yeah, he's like head down between his legs. He's like, hey, "It's brutal. I'm so sorry." Yeah, no, you're right.
Like the whole country right now too, except us. Like we're so spoiled.
So spoiled.
You know, we have the game time temperature, you know, sponsor at the beginning of the broadcast. Lineage Watch Company, by the way, great San Diego company. And it's like, you know, last night I think it was 66 degrees at first pitch. And I was imagining the East Coast friends, fans, broadcasters, players driving home from their games. And they heard that. And they probably wanted to, like, drive their cars off the side of the road.
Yeah, it's just
you know, because, like, they it was like one of the night games last night. I think the game time temperature back east was like 100 degrees at night. And it was like, oof, we're playing at 66.
I know the economics don't work, but if the Padres go, hey, Reds, we'll let you bat second. You want to come here and play that series?
Yeah, for real.
In Cincinnati, how many would jump at the chance?
Sign me up.
Jesse, anyway, Padres, obviously, as you said, trying to get through this stretch of 26 games. Pitching is always the most important thing, and we saw Michael King throwing some balls on the field. I said earlier today, that's the most important for the rest of the season. Getting Michael King back is the key for the Padres making a run and maybe making a playoff push. I don't see it necessarily happening without him. So I think that's what I'm looking at most closely as they go to the trade deadline.
I think that's fair. I think they can make the push without him. I do. I don't think it's a requirement, but obviously it makes it way, 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 way better. You know, emphasis on all those ways. But I do think, you know, they've got like this stable of younger guys who have really done a nice job. I still think that if you're getting what you're supposed to get out of, you know, Manny and Fernando and Jackson Merrill, you're going to be okay. And we really haven't seen those guys all click together, you know, since the first few weeks of the season. And we all remember what that looked like. But there's no doubt if you can get Michael King back healthy, looking like he did last year, you know, it's an exponentially more dangerous team that would probably not be a fun one to face in the postseason. So, yeah, I mean, it would be huge. It was great to see him throwing yesterday. This is such a weird injury, such a different kind of injury. So it's been hard to, you know, really understand any kind of timeline. But every time I've talked to Michael, you know, in the last, I don't know, month and a half, very upbeat, very positive, you know, certainly I think frustrated that he's not able to go right now and help the team. But he's got the mentality, the attitude, certainly of a guy who expects to be back sooner rather than later.
Benny, what's the number you said? If they win these next two, will they be
13 and 13 over 26?
Okay, yeah,
I mean, gotta win these next two now to do that.
It's not
the 12 and 14 is the end of the world, but
right?
I would be impressed if they could get these next two and get to 13 and 13.
Me and you both. Part of the reason I was so impressed, Jesse, by the win against Kansas City is, number one, they got some really good players, really talented players, but number two is coming off that emotional Dodgers series. We know how it was for the skipper, we know how it was for the players, for the broadcaster. How was it for you calling those games?
It was great theater, right?
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
brilliant.
Like at the end of the day, we're in the entertainment business, and the more entertaining the game, you know, the more fun and easy our job is, because, you know, the sort of drama takes care of itself. You don't have to create any excitement. It's just all right there
True.
In front of us. And, you know, they felt like playoff games, every one of them. And it was a ton of fun. It's exhausting, you know, but in a good way, like not a complaint. You know, you just have to be so locked in on every pitch. You have to really pay attention to everything, because you never know when all hell is going to break loose, as it did multiple times. And like, you know, it was fun. And, you know, I mean, when the benches cleared, and then, you know, the next inning when Suarez hit Ohtani, my head was just like bang, bang, look at Dodger dugout, Padre dugout, first base, home plate, like what's happening, you know, because it's kind of like, all right, I don't want to miss anything that's going on. And, you know, even just like the lesser things that happened in that series seemed big. And, you know, the home run that wasn't, the home run that just barely was, like all that kind of stuff. So it was thrilling. It was thrilling. It is, you know, it's hilarious to me, if there's anybody who pays attention within this sport who doesn't think that this is the best rivalry in baseball right now.
Not close.
Because it's not even close.
Not close.
There is literally no other matchup that comes anywhere near this one right now.
Agreed.
And look, had the Padres not knocked them out of the playoffs in 22, I don't know that I could say that as authoritatively as I just did. But because of what happened in the postseason last year, because the Padres won the season series last year for the first time since, you know, 2010 or whatever it was, you know, I can say with full sincerity that it is by far the best thing going in baseball right now.
All right, a few seconds left.
Quickly,
the Incorporator word, Paulie, if you would.
Tatterdemalion.
Tatterdemalion, Jesse, is a person.
Naturally.
Yeah, naturally. A person wearing ragged clothing. Example sentence, you've become a tatterdemalion like your father. You're a tatterdemalion. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck on that.
Kyle Schwarber, not a tatterdemalion.
No.
All right, Jesse, we will talk to you in a couple of weeks. We will see you in Philly. Thank you very much, as always.
You got it, guys.